Me, 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 me.
Well, what have we here?
This is so wizarding.
We're all adults here.
You're a man looking at the world through a keyhole, and you've spent your whole life trying to widen that keyhole, to see more, to know more. And now, on hearing that it can be widened in ways you can't imagine, you reject the possibility.
No, I reject it because I do not believe in fairy tales about chakras or energy or the power of belief. There is no such thing as spirit. We are made of matter and nothing more. You're just another tiny, momentary speck within an indifferent universe.
You think too little of yourself.
Oh, you think you see through me, do you? Well, you don't. But I see through you! What did you just do to me?
I pushed your astral form out of your physical form.
What's in that tea? Psilocybin? LSD?
It's just tea. With a little honey.
This is the So Wizard Podcast. Episode number 118. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the So Wizard Podcast, episode number 118. My name is Tom Van Zandt, and I am your host. With me, as always, are my lovely, talented co-hosts, Mr. Joe DiCarlo.
Have you ever heard of Beyonce, Tom?
Miss Aubrey Litchfield. And your friend of mine, Mr. Marky Mark Marcellus Reagans.
You're a man looking at the world through a keyhole.
How's everybody doing tonight?
I thought Aubrey was about to bust out a Amazing Grace for a second. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, my brain stopped. And then
you're about to drop the hottest mixtape.
Yeah.
I thought she fell out of her chair. She was screaming on the way to the floor or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure what was going on there.
I was trying to think of something, and then my brain just like, it's like, I don't really feel like participating. And it's like, okay.
So you don't really like pre-plan what you're going to say? You just off the cuff? You freestyle it?
Yeah, I freeball it.
You freeball it.
Yeah, that's what I do about 99.9% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you for giving us a little insight on the inner workings of your intros. But how was everybody's week? How was Halloween for everyone? Did you eat a lot of candy and fuck a lot of bitches?
Yeah, it was everything I wanted it to be and more.
Yeah, awesome. How about you, Aubrey?
It was okay. We went through about half of my street before Noah got overwhelmed, way too overwhelmed. I mean, he was overwhelmed the entire time. And he kind of bounced trying to go up to people's doors. It's like this weird walk, like his knees weren't working. And then he didn't want to talk to people. And then he would say to Joe, let's get out of here and run away from them. And yeah, so we got about halfway through a street and he wanted to go home. So we didn't do our entire street, but we celebrated that he at least went to half the street.
All right. And Marky Mark, we know that you had some Halloween parties you attended last weekend. Did you do anything this past weekend? Anything fun?
No, I did not. I worked a lot, and it was fantastic.
It was fantastic working?
Yeah.
Well, we are all lucky to have jobs, I guess.
Sure.
One way to look at it. Well, I DJ'd my final wedding of the year, which was very exciting.
No one's getting married for the rest of the year?
No.
Yeah, all weddings are canceled.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm sure people are, but that's the last wedding that I had booked. So wedding season's pretty much over at this point. Not too many people get married beyond November, so it'll fire back up again in the spring. So now it's holiday parties. That's the next thing.
Nice. So when's the first holiday party?
December, whatever that first weekend in December is.
What holiday is that?
Well, it's a, what are you talking
about? It's Life Day. Come on, man. What's wrong with you?
It's not a holiday, but you know, they don't have Christmas parties anymore. They're called holiday parties, so they can be PC and they don't offend anyone. It's a Christmas party, but it's a holiday party. I still play Christmas music. That's the funny thing. Don't dare call it a Christmas party, but make sure you play all the, you know, famous Christmas carols and Christmas songs that everybody wants to hear. I'm like, really? All right. So that's what I do. It's ridiculous. Just call it a fucking Christmas party. That's what it is. PC bullshit. Anyway. So Joey DiCarlo.
Yes.
I think we're going to talk about Doctor Strange. We all saw it, didn't we?
Yes.
All right. But before we do that, don't you want an opportunity to share with the Wiz Kids and listeners out there how they can find all things So Wizard?
Sure, Tom. Everyone can go to SoWizardPodcast.com, where they can find the podcast every week, as well as links to all our social media accounts right on the right-hand side of the page, SoWizardPodcast.com. Don't forget you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app on your tablet or smartphone. Tom.
I love it.
Thank you very much, Joey DiCarlo. I do love it, just like Lex Luthor. So what do we got? We got any news, or are we going to get right into our Doctor Strange review?
We've got a very strange week, Tom. All our news is DC Expanded Universe focused, and our main event is a review of a Marvel Studios movie.
Well, there you go. So I would call that a balanced episode then. Fair and balanced, much like there Fox News.
So why don't we start?
Fuck you, Fox. Fuck you, Fox.
Okay. So why don't we start with that? The new Wonder Woman trailer, trailer 2, came out this past week, and it didn't play in front of Doctor Strange when I saw it, which was weird because I thought that was the whole reason why it came out this week. But okay.
No, that's not why.
Mine did.
You did? Okay, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. I'm sure DC was like, you know, we're going to put the trailer out just so that people can know about it, not necessarily before Doctor Strange.
Strange. That's never going to get old.
It's old. Anyway, I'm telling you right now, it's already old.
Yeah, so it came out and just wanted to see what you guys thought. I'm sure we all had a chance to watch it. Aubrey, you're a girl, so apparently you're supposed to love this movie. What did you think?
I am still really excited for this movie. I was excited from the beginning, and I'm still really excited.
Tom?
Well, I mean, this trailer didn't do anything for me in addition to what I've already seen. I mean, it wasn't like a whole bunch of amazing new footage. It just seemed like the same trailer recut with a couple additional scenes and more of Gal Gadot with her bad accent.
Okay, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Tom. It pretty much felt like I've already seen this trailer. I mean, there was some more scenes in it. I mean, we got a lot more Chris Pine, so that's good for Chris Pine fans. And it's good that they set up that it does take place in modern time and in the past. So, you know, that's a little bit more relevant. And there's, I think there was there like a giant ball of light in the sky at the end of this one? Did I see that, or was that another
it's
trailer?
It's possible. There's some sort of beam into the sky.
But yeah, I mean, I'm still in the same boat. Nothing really made me want to see it more. Nothing really distracted me from wanting to see it or detracted me from wanting to see it. So, you know, it still looks good, but, you know, so does Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
There's some truth.
Yeah, but you didn't hate Suicide Squad.
No, I didn't hate it, but it definitely wasn't as good as the trailer made it look.
Right. Well, they showed you all the best scenes in the trailer was the problem. So hopefully that's not the case with Wonder Woman, because otherwise this is going to be one hell of a bad movie.
I thought it was pretty underwhelming. I wasn't feeling it as much as the first trailer. And I think her accent is horrendous. And everyone rushing to defend it and saying, well, she's a Greek goddess. They're not American. Well, none of the other goddesses have the same accent as her. So
right,
she just walks around sounding like Tommy Wiseau. And there is darkness in this world. Like, what? Come on.
Oh, and hi, then, Mark.
Seriously.
I love her. I don't care about her accent. I don't care. I don't care how bad it sounds. I love her. I love you, Gal Gadot. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
She looks great as Wonder Woman. She looks hot as hell.
Tell me right now. This is what she sounds like. This is what it sounded like in the trailer.
Everybody betrayed me. I fed up with this world.
There is darkness in this world.
And yeah. I can't stand her theme song either. It sounds like a bad ripoff of Led Zeppelin.
I really like the theme song.
Fight.
I do. I really like it.
There's definitely a camp of people that either really like it or really hate it. And I can't stand it. That was when they started to play it at the very end of the trailer. I quit. Threw my hands in the air like I'm done. I don't care anymore.
I don't know. I really like it. I think it's different.
That's very true. And by different, you mean awful? Yes.
Yeah, I like it.
Different isn't always good, but I don't hate it. I agree with Aubrey. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I just want to point out at the beginning of the trailer, she still hasn't finished reading that email.
Yeah, she's still staring at that same fucking picture.
No, she got the original back. That's what the
not even a picture, it's a JPEG.
No, that's I thought she was looking at the original picture. Like the original like file that was or the original like, you know, photograph. Yes?
The
no?
darkness in this world. God. Awful. All right, I want it to be good. We'll see. I'm still going to see it, obviously, for the podcast, but I feel like I've been burned, man. Nah. I've been burned too many times.
It's going to be awesome. DC, no, they Warner Brothers and DC, they obviously know what they're doing.
What? is this alternate universe,
no,
Mark?
I was being sarcastic.
Well, Mark, it's actually pretty funny that you say that, because we had some more breaking news.
And that's why I said it.
And now the news.
So a big rumor came out this week. The author of American Psycho, Bret Easton Ellis, yes, said he's been told from Hollywood executives that the Ben Affleck Batman has serious, serious script troubles. They said there are serious problems with the script. They were complaining about people who work on the movie. They went to the studio and said, the script is terrible. There's 30 things that are wrong with it that we can fix. And the executive said, we don't care. We don't really care.
I don't care.
The amount of money we're going to make globally, 70% of our audience is not going to see this in English. It doesn't really matter.
Wow.
So, of course, it's someone saying something to someone about something someone else said. So, you know, third or fourth hand story. You know, and he did come out later in the week saying he was sorry he had brought it up. He never said that it wasn't true. He just said he was sorry that he brought it up.
Oh, shit. Well,
I'm sure he got a lot of backlash.
So, you know, there's a possibility that the script for The Batman is shit on a sandwich and WB doesn't care because it's going to make money anyway. So what do you think? I know, Mark, you are the barometer of artistic integrity. So we'll stick with you first.
Okay. Well, first, what is Bret Easton Ellis working on for DC Marvel or DC Warner Brothers?
Nothing. He just knows people who know people who know people.
All right. So he could just be, you know, he might have tried to push a book onto them, like one of his books, and they were like, fuck you, get out of here. We're doing the superhero. We're in the superhero game now. And he's just being bitter. You know what I mean? Like, how much of this guy's work can we take?
He did mention it was supposed to be more of an anecdote about how studios don't give a shit about how good the movies are or not. Mm-hmm. They just care about if they make money. It really wasn't supposed to have anything to do with Batman, but then it just kind of blew the fuck up.
So. Gotcha. Well, I mean, there's a possibility that he could be right. Like we just said, Warner Brothers' track record isn't really that good. But I would like to think that with Affleck and Jeff Johns, you know, in the trenches, it might not be perfect, but I want to think that they're on the right path. And, you know, Bret Easton Ellis probably doesn't, like, does he know Batman? Like, has he written a Batman book or script or anything?
Does he know Mark Ellis Regan?
So, you know, I mean, yeah, he wrote American Psycho and, you know, Christian Bale. So I guess there's that. But, you know, like, what is he? Does he know who Batman is? Like, why are we taking this guy's
Batman
word?
That's
maybe it was
to
Christian
Batman.
Bale that told him.
Christian Bale was in American Psycho and Batman. You think that's a coincidence? Swear to me. Well, here I am.
That's Ben Affleck. That's not Christian Bale.
Oh, sorry. I get my Batmans confused sometimes.
Aubrey,
it's hard to tell the difference.
What if you heard that Batman was terrible? Swear to me.
Honestly, I'm not surprised.
Aubrey, where is the trigger? Where is it?
I'm sure it'll be awful in theaters, and then it'll come out with some extended version when it comes out on DVD.
And it'll be rated R.
Yeah.
Where is the cut footage? Where is it? You wouldn't give it to an ordinary citizen.
You wouldn't give it to an ordinary editor.
You wouldn't give it to Bret Easton Ellis. Where is the script doctor?
I thought Ben Affleck was supposed to be writing some of this himself.
He thought starring in Daredevil was a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good point by you.
I don't know. It seems like third or fourth hand information. I'm not really sure how to react to this. I'm not really. Is this supposed to be surprising that a major studio prefers money over artistic endeavors? I think if you told them they could film Ben Affleck taking a shit and put it out and make $700 million, like they would be like, great, all right, do it. You know, I don't think they really give two craps what the movie's like.
Right,
can't be worse than Batman versus Superman, right?
Are we honestly surprised that a DC movie has major script issues?
Hey, careful, Iko the Rain Man's gonna get defensive.
I'm just saying, Batman v Superman was way better with the extended version. Way better. Made total sense.
No. Back up. It didn't make total sense, but it made more sense.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's bumped up a bunch of notches for me. Suicide Squad, you know, the further I get away from it, the further I care about it.
And you didn't care all that much to begin with because you hated the way they portrayed Harley.
Exactly. And I still think that that's garbage. And so it just, that script was trash. Should have been lit on fire.
Is it a mistake? Nothing but?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm honestly not surprised that this is garbage. It's like old news to me. You don't say.
The movie hasn't even come out and it's old news.
Yeah. You don't say. Batman it's featuring Ben Affleck is going to be garbage? Oh. Couldn't have seen that coming.
Hey, he was one of the bright points of Batman v Superman, his portrayal of Batman and Bruce Wayne.
It's kind of like being the shiniest turd in the bowl, isn't it, Tom?
I suppose.
Anything looks golden next to what's his face? Jesse Eisenberg.
Right.
Or Henry Cavill.
Boys!
Boys!
Oh, man.
It's like the presidential debates at this point.
Well, Bret Easton Ellis hasn't made a comic book movie that I've liked in the past 5 years or 10 years or so. So,
has he ever made a comic book movie?
John C. Dario. His opinion doesn't really matter to me.
But he is a writer of a good movie. I mean,
he's a writer of a good book that they made into a movie like 15 years ago.
You liked American Psycho.
I vaguely remember that movie.
Do you like Less Than Zero?
I remember that movie even less. Hey, didn't Christian Bale kill Jared Leto in American Psycho?
Yes.
Ironic, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, I believe in Affleck. That's who I vote for.
I say Affleck for president.
Affleck and Jeff Johns are working together on a Batman script. I'm gonna put more faith into that than Mr. Ellis.
You're gonna put your faith in the writer of Green Lantern?
He did not write Green Lantern. I mean, he was a writer on it, but that's not his script.
What a story, Mark.
And the director's cut of that movie is slightly better.
Okay. Well,
how are you guys gonna dog Jeff Johns? Didn't he write like Rebirth and fucking Darkest Night and all of his other comic book shit that fanboys
that
love?
Doesn't mean he can write movies. Frank Miller's a great comic book writer. Wow. And he is awful when it comes to writing scripts for movies. He should stay the fuck away from movies. And he's one of the most brilliant comic book writers ever.
Yeah, I saw the spirit in the theaters. And it's like,
oof. RoboCop 2. That's all I need to say. Awful.
Okay, that's it. What else you got, Joey?
You got more breaking news, Joey?
Yeah, one last piece of DC Cinematic Universe news.
Welcome for a special news report.
All right, so this is going to be a really negative on DC episode. I'm afraid of how... You know, some of our friends are going to react to this.
Well, they're going to think So Wizard is Marvel biased.
Well, if DC gets their shit together, we wouldn't have to do this.
We're good movie biased.
Yeah, don't be mad at me. Be mad at yourself. Make a good movie.
That's right. And there's Marvel movies I don't like. So that's, you know, it's not biased.
I'm fed up with the negativity in this world.
Steve Trevor, you're tearing me apart.
I was going to say something about Etta Candy's sex life, but I don't want to think about Etta Candy's sex life, so I'm good. All right, so again, sorry, Angry Geek Show and Ico to shit all over DC again, but here we are.
Here we are.
Yes, well, here we are. the Flash has now lost second director.
The first director to walk away from this movie, the second director to walk away, right. Which is very telling. There's all kinds of problems going on over there, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, he cited the always popular irreconcilable differences to walk away from, you know, the movie. And that's the second director to walk away. What the hell is going on with this movie, Mark?
You know what? I take back everything that I just said about Bret Easton Ellis. He's probably absolutely right, because DC has no fucking idea what they're doing.
Whoa. We're going to get a cease and desist letter from Warner Brothers like we did with Fox. Thanks, Mark.
I'm sorry. I just don't understand. How did it go wrong so fast? He just got the job. Like, what did he say that made them go, yes, well, you're hired? And then didn't meet him halfway on whatever he was trying to work on. Like, if he's a director, let the guy handle the movie. Give him the money and just let him do his thing. I mean, yeah, oversee him, but Jesus, it should not get to that point. That's fucking ridiculous. And they already have a date. I think they already have a date set for The Flash. So someone's going to have to be a Brett Ratner and just show up and just start filming shit.
Louis Letelier.
It's going to happen. It's either that's going to happen or they're going to push back Flash, and with Justice League already coming out. I mean, like, it's frustrating.
Maybe they should just give it to M. Night Shyamalan.
Probably.
Sure, he could do something interesting with it.
I mean, maybe
it's supposed to come out in 2018. So.
Well, they better start filming soon, because 2016 is almost over.
If it comes out in 2018, that means they have to start filming within the next, like, 3 months or so. Four months. And if they don't have a director at this point, man, like, what the fuck are they doing?
What do they do, Mark? They've had two directors to this point. Neither one of them stuck around, though.
So, I mean, I never saw Dope that he directed, but I know Adam, Wally Hawk, and you both thought it was awesome, Mark.
Yeah. I thought it was dope.
I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was really, really good. He has a really good storytelling sensibility. I really wanted to see his version of a superhero movie. I really did.
Well, you're going to have to wait, my friend.
But now, is this because of them course correcting from Batman versus Superman, or is this because they're meddling too much? Aubrey, what do you think?
If I could drop my mic, I would. It just goes back to what I said before. I'm not surprised, because it just, anything DC has given me has been a disappointment lately. I don't know what the problem with Flash is. I think they should have just gone with the dude that plays the Flash on the CW.
Grant Gustin?
Yeah, why didn't they go with him?
They didn't want to tie it to the TV universe.
Why?
It's separate. Because it's separate continuities.
Hashtag it's not connected.
It's not connected.
Yes. What a headache. I don't know if they're trying to make sense of that scene that was in Batman v Superman. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Where Lois was the key?
Yeah. Like, are they trying to backtrack somehow?
Which made no fucking
somehow?
Sense, by the way. Like, he should have said Martha is the key. Like, the key to that movie was the fact that their mothers were both named Martha. Like, Lois had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that scene still doesn't make sense.
Lois didn't resolve anything.
It won't make sense until after Justice League Part 2.
Yeah.
Then it will make sense.
I feel like the only thing that makes sense that would fit into that is that Lois figured out that Lex Luthor was the underlying reason for everything. That's the only thing that I can think of that he would have meant. I don't know. I don't know what their problem is. It's just mind-blowing at this point.
Tom.
Hi.
Any idea who would you want to direct this movie?
Shit.
M. Night Shyamalan. You already said it.
Yeah, at this point, at this point, have Lindsay Lohan do it. She could probably do a better job.
don't think she's ever directed anything.
That's okay. She couldn't do any worse than what they're currently doing. I mean, come on. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, if it's going to be a train wreck, just let it be a total fucking train wreck. You know what I mean? And nothing says total fucking train wreck quite like Lindsay Lohan.
Maybe we can get Uwe Ball to come out of retirement and direct
That's
it.
That's right. Basically, my message is fuck yourself.
Do you guys think that that this is more negative than positive? Since, I mean, Marvel has changed directors. Even Ant-Man changed director literally weeks before they started shooting. Do you think it's because DC's track record doesn't earn them the right to change directors that you feel this way?
Yes.
Mark?
DC has a horrible track record. I'm sorry, Warner Brothers has a horrible track record, and not just with the DC movies. Like, they're not, something is not working at that studio, or something is not connecting to the audience at that studio. So yeah, if they had pumped out at least two decent hits, I mean, that didn't involve Christopher Nolan, then yeah, you know, changing directors, it'd be fine. You know, have faith in them. But with so much like behind the scenes drama going on in these movies, so much disappointment from what's been coming out. Yeah, they're up shit's creek, man. They clearly have no idea what they're doing, and I don't know when it's gonna turn around. Wonder Woman better win like Oscars in order for them to get that shit corrected, man. Because Jesus, how bad can it be? How much worse can it get from them?
She's gonna win an Oscar for best accent.
If Wonder Woman doesn't do well, at least Aquaman still looks badass.
We'll have to cross Wonder Woman off on the chalkboard of things that will turn around the DC cinematic universe.
Yeah.
I would say changing a director is a forgivable offense, but when you do it twice on the same project, that's pretty telling. You start to wonder if, okay, maybe it's not the director, maybe it's the studio that's got the problem, because now two directors have walked away. That's problematic. That's not good. That doesn't look good for you, Warner Brothers. You better warn a brother before you let him direct your movie.
Yeah, it is kind of scary, too, even non-DC movies with Fantastic Beasts coming out. J.K. Rowling is writing the script, which is terrifying. What's the last good thing she's written? When did the last Harry Potter book come? I've heard nothing but complaints about the play that she wrote, so...
Oh, I'm still in the process of reading. Actually, no, she didn't write that.
She gave a story idea.
Yeah, she had the idea. Two other guys wrote it.
She's become George Lucas.
That's
well,
not.
She's got enough money.
That's not been proven until this movie comes out.
So we'll see. But I haven't heard good things.
Are you saying that Fantastic Beasts could be her Howard the Duck?
Well, when you're taking what was essentially a spin-off like textbook and making it into a 5-movie saga, and you've never really written a movie before, I don't know, bro. But I don't care either way, because I hate Harry Potter, so I just don't want it to suck, because I'm going to have to go see all of them with my daughter. So.
Did you just say you hate Harry Potter?
Yeah, it's whack. I don't watch that.
He's not American.
I was just going to say, what is wrong with you?
He's not American because he doesn't like a London-based fantasy book.
I don't know. I watched the first movie. There's like some stupid British kid, and then he was under the stairs, and a bunch of letters came in the door. I was like, this is stupid, and I shut it off.
It got better, Joey. You didn't give it a chance.
Couldn't get much worse. I had to put on Commando and watch it like 3 times in a row just to cleanse myself.
Cleanse your palate. Cleanse your eyeballs.
That's right. Well, that's the news, kids.
Here's my problem with Warner Brothers. I mean, you look at the track record. You hear about not one but two directors walking away from the Flash project, which that's a project people should be excited to want to be a part of and direct that. And they leave. And then you hear Bret Easton Ellis say what he said. And, you connect all those dots. It's kind of believable, isn't it? I mean... It's kind of like going back to our old friend Josh Trank, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. I mean, there were a lot of rumors about his meltdown, and then the movie finally came out, and yeah, it was a big piece of shit. It was hot garbage, the hottest of garbage. So, you know, we can only go on what we're hearing, because we're not inside.
I just wish we knew a little bit more about what his vision was, because maybe his vision was about the Flash has to run backwards all the time or something ridiculous that doesn't fit and they kicked him out, or it could
or
be that
he becomes pure lightning when he runs.
I don't know, something stupid. You don't ever know. He could have had a really bad idea, but on the other hand, it's, I feel like it's more possible that Warner Brothers had some pretty bad ideas and they just don't want to change them. So,
well, the guy the
executives
that
don't care.
The guy that originally was going to direct The Flash is the same guy who wrote the script. So Warner Brothers still has the script. You know, they're trying to get someone else to direct it. If they really like this guy, the first guy, then they would just let him direct it because he wrote the script. Like, it can't be the story. You know what right. I mean? Like,
because they kept the story.
Yeah, it can't be because someone comes in and wants to put the Flash in like a purple suit. I mean, everyone, they've already established who the Flash is. They already have like their chart like plotted out.
They already have the costume. You saw it in Batman v Superman. So
and or Suicide Squad.
Right. So they have an idea of what they're doing, but maybe they're just not letting the directors, you know, offer their opinions, or I don't know, who knows. But I say, if you sit down with someone and you interview them and you give them the job and they start hiring actors, you know, people who are like, I'm not going to do The Flash, but if this guy is directing it, then yes, sign me up. I will be in this movie. And then they fire the director. Like, that's who some of the actors joined the movie for.
Yeah, the girl that's playing Iris kind of gave a, like, not so polite response. Not so polite response about the fact that she pretty much signed on just to work with that guy, and now he's not there. So.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so Warner Brothers, they need to really get this shit figured out, because they're just going to, the studio's not going to last much longer. Like, these superhero movies are not going to last much longer if they don't get this shit corrected quick.
All right. So I guess we'll move on from that depressing DC Comics news to the main event of the evening.
Yes.
Our reaction review to Doctor Strange, the latest movie from Marvel Studios. We all had a chance to see it over the weekend.
Yeah, sure did.
I guess we'll start with some non-spoilery reactions, and then we can move into spoilers. So in case you haven't seen it yet, we'll clearly delineate when we go into spoilers. Just a quick, like, initial impression, Aubrey.
I feel as though I should have been on drugs.
In a good way or a bad way?
I'm not sure.
Mark?
I liked it, but not as much as I thought I was going to.
Okay. Tom?
I, too, liked it. I had some issues, as I'm sure Mark did, but overall it was good, and it probably would have been better had I seen it in 3D. That was definitely a movie made for 3D, I think.
I saw it in 3D.
Okay, and that's probably why you felt like you were on drugs.
Well, I also can't see 3D. So,
oh.
And we just happened to go to the movie theater, and I thought that the regular standard edition was playing at the time that we went, and it happened to be the 3D one. And I said, well, let's go, because we're not paying $25 to see a movie. And Joe was like, well, I'm standing here in line. We're seeing this movie. So we saw it in 3D and paid money so I can just look at a regular movie.
So you really didn't see it in 3D?
No, I didn't. It was funny, though, because the 3D was not turned on or something, so it just looked really blurry. And I thought, you know, it was just me. And Joe was like, can you see this? I said, well, I can't see it anyway, but it's blurry. So if I can see it blurry, then there's something wrong with the movie. And he went and he said something. And then it was perfectly fine. Everything was clear. I still didn't see anything come at me, but, you know, it is what it is.
I don't understand. What do you mean? They flipped a switch? How do they turn the 3D on?
I have no idea. I don't know how that works, but it was like really blurry, and then Joe went and said something and they fixed it, and then it worked.
It's the lenses.
I think I was gonna say the projector might have been out of focus, but I don't think it necessarily wasn't 3D. The difference between the print is already 3D.
It was like the colors weren't there or something. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
I can't see 3D, so I'm probably the worst person to ask, but I mean, it was blurry.
Yeah, when you look at when you look at a 3D movie without the glasses, it has like that double image, you know, so it is kind of blurry. If the lenses, not on the glasses, but the lenses on a projector, if they're backwards, then the picture's still going to look blurry. And when you put your glasses on, it's not going to change. It's still going to be blurry. I've seen it happen.
That's how it was.
So that's probably what happened. Like, you put the glasses on and the image is still blurry and it's like, all right, this isn't right. So they probably just had to flip the lenses upstairs. And that was your movie moment from Mark Riggins.
Thank you. Awesome. Does anyone have anything else?
Seems to be like you're the expert.
It's almost like when I went to go see Batman at the drive-in and they mixed up the reels. So I saw the end where Gordon goes and sees his wife and she's like yelling at him. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And then I see Gordon die. I'm like, wait a minute. So did he pretend to be alive and then he died? So
is he a zombie? What is happening
here? Yeah, I was so confused at the drive-ins.
Anyone else have any non-spoilery reactions to the movie? Non-spoilery. Oh, I didn't even tell how I felt about it, did I?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I liked it a lot. And me and Janine both really enjoyed it. Thought it was really good. I don't have anything I can say that's non-spoilery, so. Anyone else have anything non-spoilery they want to throw out there?
No. I don't blame Rachel McAdams for not kissing Benedict Cumberbatch.
She can get it.
I don't think this is a movie that you have to see in 3D. You know, there's two sequences that really pop in 3D, but the rest of the movie, you don't really need to see it in 3D. You can see it in 2D and be 2D, fine.
And it seemed fine, though. I will say those two sequences Mark's talking about, I definitely was like, man, I bet that was really cool in 3D.
So. Mm-hmm.
When he was falling through dimensions when she first sent
spoilers!
Him. Oh, sorry. That was on the previews.
Great. So I guess we'll go ahead and move into spoilers. So Tom's going to play our spoiler drop. And then moving forward, we'll be free running with spoilers for Doctor Strange.
Who wants to hear a spoiler? Here's a spoiler. You will die alone.
Great. So spoilers are free and clear to go. What do you guys? Come on, give me some more here. Aubrey and Mark, you guys weren't really feeling it, you know.
It was really, it's not that it was hard to follow. It just kind of was lackluster. It looked really cool, but I felt like it lacked action until the end, if that makes sense. It was okay. It wasn't great. I didn't leave there going, oh my God, that was awesome. That was so awesome. It just was like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
It was bleh.
What about you, Mark? Come on, you gotta have some criticisms.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is one of those characters, like the Hulk, that everyone loves, but I never quite understood why. I don't think I've ever read a Doctor Strange book ever in my life. I'm pretty sure I saw like the animated movie that came out a few years ago. But there's parts of this movie that I loved, that I absolutely loved, and then there's certain aspects of it that I wasn't feeling at all. Like, I don't think they, as a person who hasn't read the books, I wanted to watch the movie and go, okay, now I understand why they made a Doctor Strange movie. Now I kind of want to see what comes next. I want, like, you know, some other books or some other stories. I want to be interested in this character. They didn't really explain it. Well, they didn't explain it well enough for me to care anymore about what happens. You know what I mean? Like, I really liked, his friend Mordo, that dude,
Baron Mordo.
Loved this story. I loved that whole aspect of it. Was awesome. The ancient one, liked that a lot. But I don't understand, like, why is there? So there's three buildings that protect the world from supernatural forces, right? Or three, like, you know, walls. I guess
sanctums.
You could say.
They're sanctums. Called sanctums.
Thank you, Tom. Yep. So there's three sanctums, right? Hong Kong, London, New York.
Yep.
Okay, so we go into the New York one and there's, you know, artifacts and a floating cloak and all that stuff. What goes on at these sanctums? Like, normally? Like, what happens there? Is there, like, an army that's, like, defending the world? Is there...
No, they just hang out and defend the sanctums.
But who's they?
Different sorcerers. All those people that were training.
Okay, so I saw, like, all of the Padawans, like, learning their trading, but where are the other sorcerers that are, like, guarding the Earth?
They killed them. He was at the door when they showed up.
I saw one guy at the door.
Right.
I saw Doctor Strange come into the building, walk around the building, call out for someone. There's no one there. And then out of nowhere, this guy is just standing there. Like, the guy didn't hear him the whole time?
No, I think he was
hiding,
preparing He was preparing to face Cassilius, the main bad guy there.
All right, so that one dude is responsible for guarding.
Yeah, he's a master sorcerer. So there's the Sorcerer Supreme, which is the ancient one, and then there's Master Sorcerers, who she puts in charge of defending the sanctums.
Okay.
And then the other sorcerers are back at Kabanash. What's the name of her place?
Timbuktu.
No, it's Kawasaki. Anyway, the rest of them are training the other sorcerers back at her pad. So, but yeah, there's one master sorcerer that defends each sanctum, and that's why she gave Strange the New York sanctum. Although I don't know how he's already a master, but she called him a master, so I guess she felt his training was complete. It felt pretty rushed to me, but
so what does he do? He just hangs out at the sanctum and waits for
it stays there, and nobody fucks with it. That's what they do.
Yeah, which is why there was that first after scene or after credit scene where he was confronting a certain person. Or we're in spoilers now, right?
Yeah.
Where he was telling Thor, he was talking to Thor and saying, you know, your brother Loki is a potential threat. You know, that's basically his job. That's what he does. He heads off threats at the pass, like before they become threats to the world. He seeks them out and puts a kibosh on them.
By hanging out in his giant castle by himself.
Well, no, that's his home base, his base of operations.
By hanging out at his home base by himself.
Well, no, he's not by himself. Wong is going to be there with him.
Wong's at the library.
No, Wong is not going to be at the library going forward.
Wong
will
was
be with
at
him.
The Hong Kong.
Right, yeah. Okay, so Wong's the librarian. Who was guarding the Hong Kong building?
All the other people that were there.
This movie is stupid.
These sanctums are the flash time travel of... for Mark.
The thing is that they didn't explain it enough to make me care. Like, I do agree
with you that there's holes in the continuity, and you're right in those terms. Like, yeah, okay, so there was one guy to defend against Cassilius at the New York sanctum. He got killed, and then at the Hong Kong sanctum there's a whole shit ton of them, and they all get killed.
Yeah, like, but, what? That's the thing I don't understand. Is like, there's this huge world that opens up, and you know, this is the world of magic and sorcery. Okay, explain to me how it works. Well, there's one guy who we don't name who guards the New York building who dies in 5 minutes, and
that's why they didn't bother naming him.
And Wong, the librarian, is defending the Hong Kong one. Like, shouldn't there be a master guy at Hong Kong, like ready
there
to...
was, but they also brought in Wong and a bunch of other people because the New York guy got killed.
What was the name of the guy that was guarding
Hong Kong?
I thought
it was London that got killed.
London got destroyed. New York, the guy just got killed. The building still stayed standing, though.
Yeah, they saved New York.
So who was the one that was guarding the London place?
Some guy that got killed. Right. It's not off screen.
This movie sucks.
How did it go from you liked it to it sucks?
No, I'm kidding. I like that. There's parts of it that I really did like, but that aspect of it, I don't like that.
They didn't think through that part of the story. They were just trying to get to Cassilius and his zealots to show up and fight Mordo and Strange. That was really, the rest of it was just filler until that happened.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't like it. Like, I wasn't too familiar with the Thor storyline at all, but I watched that movie and I got it. Like, I got it from their aspect of it. You know what I mean? I got the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Thor. I understand how things work. Doctor Strange, it's like they don't even care that there's people who don't know what this world is. It's just like, you watch the other Marvel movies, so here's another Marvel movie. There you go. Just take it and like it.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Tom, you also said you only liked it instead of loved it. What was your issues with the movie?
Well, similar to Mark, I mean, they didn't fine-tune the story. They could have paid a little more attention to the details. I think they were banking on the visual fabulousness of it, which it was visually stunning, and some of the shit they did was mind-blowing. I mean, it was very cool, especially for a Marvel movie. You know, you haven't seen effects like that, really, on that scale in any Marvel movie. I guess the Thor movie with all the Asgard stuff is probably the closest they've come to having that many, you know, special effects in one movie. I just think they relied too much on the special effects and not enough on the story. They could have spent more time fine-tuning the story and paying greater attention to those little details that Mark had a problem with and I also had a problem with. But, I mean, I know the Doctor Strange character and I understand the backstory more than Mark, so I can forgive a lot of shit, but I understand his point of view. If you don't know that character at all and you're coming into it learning about him for the very first time, there's a lot that was left to the imagination, and you got to fill in a lot of blanks yourself, and you didn't want to do that. I get it.
I feel like I watched a different movie than all you guys.
No, I mean, first of all, his training was super rushed, okay? And if there was a gap in time, you know, that took place, they didn't make that clear and evident. You know, like if he had been there for like months or a year, that was never really explained. Like, it just seemed like he suddenly just took to magic. Like, he had a photographic memory, so he read all the spell books and memorized the spells, and then
they made a point to say multiple times that he was advancing faster than he should have been, and they were surprised he was able to do that stuff.
Yeah, it still felt a little...
How long did you want the movie to be, Tom?
Well, no, I didn't. I just wanted there to be, like... I actually thought this movie was supposed to take place in the past and then catch up to the present day, because we discussed this on a previous podcast. Why was Agent Sitwell telling Captain America that Hydra was looking at potential threats and one of them was Stephen Strange if he was still a fucking neurosurgeon at that point?
He's a brilliant neurosurgeon.
Oh, so that's a threat to Hydra. I mean, come on.
He's able to perform certain things that other people couldn't even dream of.
Stop. You just stop. Just admit that they should have had it. That should have been explained better, that initial accident took place in the past. And
maybe they have somebody that can look into the future.
Okay, but that wasn't explained, so I can't go with that theory. I mean, that may be true. But
did we not watch the same movie? They showed him like being like one of the best neurosurgeons in the world, and when he crashes his car, he's like turning down all sorts of different things that people are begging him to do, and he's picking and choosing which
life
patients he wants to which patients he wants to take on, because they're the ones that give him the most fame and knowledge or fame and fortune out there. So I mean, it's pretty clear he was out there as like a famous, brilliant surgeon. It's not like he was just some random schmo working at a hospital.
And how does that threaten Hydra, him being a famous doctor?
Why would Sitwell mention that to Captain America? What does Captain America fucking care?
Who the fuck is Stephen Strange?
Well, he mentioned the valedictorian somewhere too. He was just rattling off random names. And you can't have it both ways. Do you want it to be all connected where they name drop stuff, or you do not want it to be all connected?
It to be all connected, but...
You want the movie to be 7 hours to show his training and to not be connected, I guess.
It's called a montage. It's called him running up the side of a mountain, carrying in a log, listening to "You're the Best Around." Nothing's ever going to bring you down. And then it ends with a slow motion of him, like, you know, it ends with a freeze frame of him, like, conjuring up. You know,
him and Mordo in very short shorts racing on the beach,
hugging each other. Exactly. That
actually, that would have been amazing.
They should have.
And then I would buy it.
Well, yeah, I would also buy their friendship a little more too, because they didn't. I mean, if you really look at the amount of time they spent together, you know, the Mordo betrayal at the end doesn't hurt as much because they didn't really have a strong connection.
What are you talking about? They weren't supposed to be friends. Where were you getting that they're supposed to have a friendship?
They both were training under the Ancient One, and they had the same
training him. He had a staff that was infused with the power of the Living Tribunal and beat him up. I mean, I don't understand where they were supposed to be friends. I never got that ever from the movie.
Okay, well, maybe I thought they were going in a different direction with that relationship, but it seemed like they were being friendly, and then Mordo turned away from him at the end because he made the choice to break the laws of nature and use the Eye of Agamotto to manipulate time, which, you know, had he not done that, Dormammu would have taken over the Earth, so he kind of had to do it. So Mordo overreacted, in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there.
No, I really like that aspect of the story.
I was just going to say, I thought that was awesome that, like, actually he's the bad guy, but he's really not an asshole. He just believes that they're using magic the wrong way.
Yeah. And he put his faith in what she was teaching,
and it was,
and he believed her, and he defended her to Strange, and Strange is like, dude, She is not what you think she is, man. And he's like, how dare you talk about her like that? And Strange was right. So he's a guy who lost his faith, I guess you can say. And that, you know, that with magic, that's a dangerous combination. I'm actually really excited.
She was basically his Yoda. Imagine if Yoda was a fraud. Oh my God.
Exactly. Imagine if Yoda was using a dark side to you know, stay alive for hundreds of years, but then told other people not to go down a dark side.
Well, I thought the movie was awesome, so I guess I'm the only one.
No, I didn't. It's awesome is strong. It was better than Ant-Man. I'll say that. It was better than Ant-Man, but it wasn't Captain America. You know what I mean? Like, it was right under there. It's got potential. The problem is it was an origin story, and it seemed like they tried to cram a whole lot into it. That was the other issue I had.
I don't know how you have Doctor Strange show up and not do an origin. He's not like the Black Panther or Spider-Man.
No, you need to. I understand you need to do an origin story. You need to show him get into the car crash. But again, Mark is right. They could have sped up all that training bullshit with a montage. You didn't have to waste half the fucking movie doing that.
Yeah, I feel like they wasted too much time making him a douchebag to Rachel McAdams.
That too.
Like, they could have shortened that and added some more depth into his story.
Yeah, like, the whole Rachel McAdams, like, relationship was totally unnecessary. Like, she didn't even need to be in that movie.
Yeah, they didn't build up that relationship to the point where it would matter that he was a douchebag. Like, somehow she had a watch engraved that said that she loved him, but then they never explained that there was a relationship there to make her love him that was not...
Yeah, like, what was lovable about him? Before he became the Sorcerer Supreme, he was a dick.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were dating before that all happened, because he said
they
that
didn't
they
really
dating.
Explain that extent of it. They just kind of were like, yeah, you watched me do a whole bunch of speeches and stuff. And she's like,
well,
yeah,
those
that was
were
pretty boring. Yeah.
That was for you, stroking your own ego, you know. All they did was establish that he was a douche.
Yeah,
but see, here's the problem. He wasn't a likable, like, Tony Stark is a likable dick. Like, they didn't make Stephen Strange a likable dick. He was just a dick. And then, you know, he got in that severe car crash, which, by the way, I had flashbacks of my raccoon incident. It was horrifying for me. Very upsetting seeing that car crash. And then afterwards, you know, he sees the light, quote unquote, when the Ancient One sends his astral form into the dimensional, you know, mind fuck, and that whole sequence. And then all of a sudden he comes back and he's suddenly not a dick anymore. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, he was humbled by that experience. I guess that's the only way they can explain why he suddenly changed his whole personality.
Well, I really did like the fact that his whole mission to go there was so that he could get his hands healed so he can go back to being the rich asshole doctor.
Right.
And then, you know, 3/4 of the way, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're in the middle of this huge war. And he's like, wait a minute, I didn't fucking sign up for that. That's right. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah, that was funny.
But then they don't really show, like, his turning point of, okay, I went through all of this training and now I've unlocked all of these abilities that I didn't know I had. And now you're telling me there's a war. But I didn't feel like there was a point where he was like, okay, now I'm going to help you fight this war.
Yeah, well, there was that point when the Ancient One died. That was when he, like, when she was standing with him, their astral forms were at the window watching the snow start to fall. Like, that was when he had that come to Jesus moment.
Right.
And he decided he was going to change his ways. And instead of, because she even said, you can use this new power of yours to give yourself your hands back and go back to the life you had, you know, or you can do something greater and not be selfish. And she said, and you have to learn the lesson that it's not about you and be selfless. That was basically when he had that moment. But,
well, to be fair, if he had said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, and went back to be a surgeon, the world just would have ended like 2 hours later. So
sure. But it would have been hilarious. It would have been a funny movie.
But Tom, you're absolutely right. That scene was there. I just didn't feel it. Like, I didn't buy it at all.
Right.
I didn't buy that moment where he's, you know, looks at his hands and then looks up at the sky and he's like, yes, I will defend this planet with everything that I have. Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I know what they should have did, Mark. And I mean, if you're going to have Rachel McAdams be in this movie and have that character there, she should have been the turning point for him. Like, what was the point of her being there? You didn't need her. Like, she should have been his reason for changing his mind and deciding to defend the universe. I mean, they should have put her in jeopardy in some way. She was never in jeopardy. She was never in harm's way at all. And really, if you're not going to have her be the damsel in distress, why is she there?
So she can have a operating table in New York by herself.
Yeah, right. I guess. I don't know. It was a wasted opportunity, I guess. But like I said, there were problems with it, but I did like it. And I did like Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. I thought he was well cast and the effects were mind blowing. They were crazy. Cassilius, you know, I don't know, as a villain, you know, Marvel, they're hit or miss with their villains. The Netflix shows seem to get the villains pretty well, but the movies not so much. Loki's the only successful villain they've had yet in the movies, I feel. And then Dormammu was wasted. I mean, that was...
Well, he'll be back, but...
I guess, but it was just a waste.
Wait,
it
was
I thought it was awesome how he defeated him.
Well, yeah, that
Instead
was cool.
Having a big, stupid fight with a laser beam into the sky.
Yeah, that was like, pretty funny. Dormammu, I'm here to bargain.
He just Dormammu, annoyed him.
I'm here to bargain.
He was just what annoying.
Is what is this? Make this stop.
Aubrey, did you feel cheated there wasn't a big bang-up knockdown fight at the end?
No, I did like the ending. I liked how he defeated him.
I really liked when everything was frozen and then kind of like went backwards and reset itself. That was
that was neat. That was a cool effect.
Yeah, I actually really did like the fact that they did do a big, bright thing in the sky. The city's being destroyed piece by piece, but they did it in reverse.
Right.
That I thought was cool. Because it's like, okay, yeah, you know, you're going to get the ending that you get in every other superhero movie, but you know, we're going to put our little twist on it. And that, right, and that explains
it,
why
it already happened.
Mm-hmm. And that explains why all of the trailers before this were all in reverse. And like all of the type was all like upside down.
I think the coolest reveal of the entire movie though, is that the Eye of Agamotto actually holds the time stone, the Infinity Stone. I thought that was a really cool thing. I don't know how Wong knew about it, but it was still cool.
Didn't that seem kind of like it was thrown in there? I mean, like,
no, it made perfect sense. I mean, the Time Stone would be able to do what Doctor Strange was doing with that thing. So that made sense. But it was weird that Wong knew about it. Like, why would Wong know about the Infinity Stones?
Well, he knows everything. He's a librarian.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He probably read about them.
Well, he's listening to Beyonce.
That's it. But yeah, so now there's only one more Infinity Stone to be revealed in the MCU. And then we'll have all six.
It'll be in Squirrel Girl, the movie, starring Anna Kendrick.
Oh God.
Good
what
Lord.
What's the last stone we haven't seen?
We've seen the Time Stone. We've seen the Power Stone. The Reality Gem. The Tesseract was the... Shit.
Space.
Yeah, the Soul Gem was in... Maybe the Soul Gem's the sixth one we haven't seen yet. Which one would have... Well, anyway, there's six stones and they've revealed five now. The Time Stone was the fifth stone that they revealed in Doctor Strange. So I thought that was really cool because I was wondering when they were going to drop those last two before Infinity War. And we were trying to figure out which movies they would show up in. And we were like, oh, well, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But it was cool that they dropped one in Doctor Strange.
Probably Black Panther.
Right. Oh, the Mind Stone, too. Vision has the Mind Stone. And that's it.
Soul. Who has a soul gem?
That's what I'm saying. I think the soul gem may be the sixth stone they haven't revealed yet.
Okay. Anywho. Yeah, I thought the movie was awesome. I don't really have any negative takeaways from it like you guys did. I thought it was great. That was amazing that they can just name drop the Living Tribunal in a movie. And it's just like, okay, yeah, that's a thing that happens.
Means nothing to me.
It's kind of like, is this real life?
Yeah. Right.
But what would you guys give it on a score of 0 to 5, with 5 being the best? We'll start with Aubrey.
Give it a 3.5.
Right. Mark?
Same here, 3.5.
Tom?
I will give it a 3.75, just under a 4.
What a cop-out these decimal points are.
Sorry.
I will give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. All right.
That was so awesome.
Yeah, you didn't think it was.
Hey, so you have no negative
flawless.
Aspects to it at all,
I was
but
say,
you give it
so
a
you
4 out of 5.
With it. What are your problems with it, you dickhead?
I didn't think it was. I don't know. It was good. It just wasn't like perfection.
Why not? Well, what was your problem with it?
So it was good.
You're just a Marvel fanboy. Come on, dude.
Get your
I'm reading it against other movies. If I'm taking Winter Soldier or the first Avengers and probably Civil War as 5 out of 5s, then it's a step below that. Just rated it against other Marvel movies. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
But now that begs the next question. Where does it rank in all the Marvel movies for you, Tom?
Well, like I said, it was better than Ant-Man. See, I need a list. I need a list of all the Marvel movies in front of me because off the top
only there was some sort of like way you could look that up.
Yeah, I suppose. Hold on. Hold, please.
The Soul Gem is the only one left.
Thank you. Yes. That's the sixth one they haven't shown yet. Shit, there's a lot of them. Fuck. I guess we have to consider the Incredible Hulk too, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's part of the cinematic universe.
Right.
Oh, this is fancy. So I got this theory. Just going to, you know, interrupt. There's a theory called the Thanos theory that shows all the gems and where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they spell out Thanos. So Space Gem was in the Tesseract. Soul Gem is going to be H. The Reality Gem is it Aether?
Aether. Yep, from Thor Dark World, yep.
Yeah, the Time Gem was Necklace from Doctor Strange.
Wow, that's
not right.
Kind of a stretch.
The Power Gem is Orb, and then the Mind Gem is Scepter. And the H, think, stands for Hela.
Hose.
Hela.
Hela.
Oh, and Hela's going to be in...
In Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Interesting.
Yeah. So, which one is the last one? The Soul Gem?
Yeah.
It's at a strip club. That's why it's for the H for hose.
We love these hoes.
It's okay, embedded in the wall at Anthony's strip club in South Hadley, Massachusetts, right behind the airbrushed tiger.
All right. So you asked me where I rate it. Doctor Strange is above Ant-Man. It's above Iron Man 3. And it's above the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
And probably it's above Iron Man 2 as well. I'm not a big Iron Man 2 guy. But I guess if I'm comparing, it's I'd say it's up there with the first Thor.
Ouch. I hate the first Thor. So.
Well, I didn't hate the first Thor. So.
Well, I hate is a strong word. But
visually, probably... I mean, it's very similar visually, like in terms of like the amount of CGI. And
it had more locations than an abandoned street, though.
No, but Thor, you're forgetting about Asgard. There was quite a bit of Asgard in Thor.
So you're putting it right in the bottom half there, the bottom third.
Yeah, I'd say it's in the middle of the pack. It's the middle of all the movies. It's in the middle somewhere.
All right. Aubrey, what about you?
I'd also agree that it's probably in the middle somewhere. I mean, it's above Age of Ultron. And it's probably equal with Ant-Man, honestly, because they're both just... I mean, Doctor Strange was visually stunning, but, I mean, the story was just bland. So... So it's in the middle for me.
What about you, Mark?
I would say, actually, all the movies that Tom had listed, pretty close to the exact same list. I'd say it's above Ant-Man. It's above Incredible Hulk. It's above Iron Man 3. And that's it. It's underneath everything else.
Hmm. This gets hard to do because I feel like some of these movies get shafted by saying it's above this. Makes it sound like the other movies are bad. When I don't think has there really been a bad movie in any of these?
No, not yet.
Anything you would flat out just say, oh, that movie sucks.
Nope.
You know, the further I get from Age of Ultron, the further I like it.
I am in the same boat as you, Aubrey. I like it less and less the more I think about it. And anytime I watch it again, I like it less and less and less. But I don't think it's a bad movie, per se. It's not like Batman versus Superman, which is like an incomprehensible mess. It's not poorly made. It's not
like Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I just feel like disappointed. I think I wanted a lot more from it that I didn't get. And there's a lot of choices in it I really disagree with that they made. So, you know, it's just kind of there. So I would definitely put Doctor Strange, probably right in the middle for same thing. I mean, for me, the top movies are, you know, Winter Soldier, number one, probably put the first Avengers number two, Civil War, maybe number three-ish. I don't know. Civil War is kind of moving around. I got to decide where it finally falls. I've only watched it a couple times. So, first Avengers up in there. First Iron Man. I feel like people always forget how awesome the first Iron Man is because it's been like
forever in a day.
Forever. Like that was 2008.
Oh my God.
I feel like they get shafted sometimes when people make these lists because that's an awesome movie, but it's been so long. It almost feels like part of another age. I mean, the bottom for me is always going to be Incredible Hulk and the first Thor. So I almost feel like Incredible Hulk should get a pass because they weren't really, they didn't really know what they were doing yet, you know?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones.
Wasn't 100% bought into what they were figuring out, what they were doing. They've kind of retrofitted it in pretty well, but I don't know. This definitely is in the middle. I put it right around Iron Man 3 and Ant-Man, which are both movies I really like. So that's probably where I put it, somewhere in that middle tier, which again doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It just means that it's not as amazingly mind-blowing as Winter Soldier, which is going to be a hard, hard thing to top. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's always tougher to, once the bar is set with other superhero movies, like with the first Avengers, like Iron Man 3, it's not bad, but that's a tough act to follow. You know what I mean? Civil War is a really tough act to follow.
I am loath to bring up Iron Man 3 conversation with Tom on the podcast because it's just going to launch into another 2-hour tangent.
No, I totally forgot about that.
I've made it a point to not comment. You know how I feel about Iron Man 3. If you have heard any of these episodes in the past, you've heard me rant about Iron Man 3. I'm not going to bother.
I think Thor the Dark World gets kind of a bad rap, too.
I really didn't like that one.
I like that one way more than the first one.
See, the Thor movies are really low for me. I was really bored with all the Thor movies.
You're crazy. Those are my favorite movies.
Ugh. I know. I really wanted to like them, and they just are boring to me.
Was it cardboard cutout Natalie Portman that did it to you, Aubrey?
Probably. She could have added a little bit more pizzazz to it.
No, then you'll love the next movie because she's not in it.
I probably will.
I was just going to say, speaking of Thor, we got the after credit scene setting up Thor 3. What'd you guys think of that?
I had issues.
Yeah.
You had issues with it? What?
Yeah, I did too.
All right. So what? All right. So Thor's sitting across from Doctor Strange, who's, I guess, in charge of the New York Sanctum now. And the first line is like, so Earth has wizards now? And I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't like Asgard, hasn't Asgard been like watching over Earth for like eons? Like they weren't aware. He's not aware that there's wizards or sorcerers.
I thought he was being a dick.
I don't know. It seemed odd to me. And isn't, I mean, I obviously all these questions are going to be answered in the next Thor movie, but isn't Loki sitting on the throne right now?
Yeah, he got rid of Odin.
But did he get rid of Odin?
Well, I mean,
or did Odin tell him to impersonate him on his own?
Well,
since
maybe.
Odin usually disappears when it's time for Ragnarok because, you know, he doesn't want to die in the end of all gods. So,
right, possibly, but it didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense because I'm like, well, so how does this? So is this scene supposed to take place prior to Ragnarok or while Ragnarok is going on, or is it post Ragnarok? Like what? Because when we last left Loki, he was pretending to be Odin on the throne and Thor was unaware that it was him. That's how they ended Dark World. And we don't know where Odin was. Odin was MIA. You assume.
Well, we still technically don't because we're not supposed to have seen like behind the scenes photographs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he said, didn't he say that he was in New York? That he brought Loki to New York?
Yeah, that he said that he brought Loki with him. They were looking for their father. And he said, so if you find Odin, you'll leave? And he said, yeah. And he said, okay, I'll help you. And so it's very confusing. So does that mean Doctor Strange is going to be in Ragnarok?
At least that one scene he is, yeah. The one scene that we just saw.
He did have that cool refilling beer glass.
Yes, he did.
We'll say that got a pretty good laugh out of the theater when Thor was like, oh, look at this beer. And then it cuts away and cuts right back to him and it was empty. Like he pounded it.
Yep.
So I'm still like really excited for Thor Ragnarok because of the director and stuff. But guess you guys just have a lot of problems there. So.
No, not a lot of problems. I'm just confused. I don't know how that after credit scene is going to fit in with Ragnarok. So I guess I have to wait to find out. And then all
yeah, wait a whole year.
That's right, which is frustrating.
Well, like I said, I'm sure a lot of the answers are going to be a lot of these questions are going to be answered in Ragnarok. But for that scene, seeing that scene and seeing what we were witnessed before with the last Thor movie and with this movie, with the Doctor Strange movie, it doesn't, I mean, it's a cute scene, but it doesn't really do anything.
It didn't make sense, right? It didn't make sense.
Unless that wasn't Thor, that was actually Loki trying to find Odin.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm sure all will be revealed in the future.
Right on.
And thus wraps up our review of Doctor Strange.
Go see the movie. It was good. I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie. It just, it could have been better. That's all.
Yeah, I actually saw it twice because I thought there was something wrong with me the first time. It's like, obviously people are loving this movie and, you know, I'm not quite sure if I liked it as much as everyone else did. So I actually did. I saw it twice this weekend. And I left feeling the exact same way.
I need to go see it again. I guess I missed a few little Easter eggs. I guess Avengers Tower was there. I didn't even
catch it was right that. It was in the skyline shot in New York. It was nice to see.
Yeah, the first
very, very simple thing that make things feel connected that they never seem to do on the Netflix shows. So
right,
and it was like one of the very first shots of the movie, or the very first shots in New York. So as soon as I saw that, it's like, oh well, obviously this takes place after, you know, all of the events of the other Avenger movies.
Right, which is one of the reasons I had a problem, because I'm like, well, why is Sitwell talking about Stephen Strange back in Captain America Winter again. Soldier? Well, because I have a point.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really. The whole movie explains. I'm not getting into it. Fine. You
I'm
have
sure
your
the internet will deliver an explanation.
You have your point.
It'd be on the Marvel one-shot when the DVD comes out. They'll explain it.
Let's hope so. Yeah, because they course-corrected the Mandarin fuck up it with Iron Man 3 and a Marvel one shot. No, I'm just talking about how those little Marvel one shots bail them out of their continuity problems.
At least we got an update on Justin Hammer.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Cool. So what's the next Marvel movie that's coming out?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2.
Volume 2. And then Black Panther.
No, it's Guardians of the Galaxy and then Spider-Man and then Thor.
Oh, and then Black Panther? Black Panther is right before Infinity War?
No, yeah, and Black Panther is 2018.
Avengers is after that, right? After Thor?
No.
No, Black Panther is before the Infinity War.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. The exact dates for you. Hold on.
But I thought Black Panther was coming out before. I thought Thor was going to be the last movie before Infinity War.
Yeah, the next year is Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, and Thor. Then it's Black Panther in February 2018, then Avengers in May, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp in July.
Nice. Okay, perfect.
And then the following year will be Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel and Untitled Avengers.
Yeah, which is the second part of Infinity War.
Can't wait for Untitled Avengers sequel. It's going to be badass.
With like a whole new different Avengers team.
Yeah, with people who they have in cheaper contracts.
That's right. And everyone else dies at the end of Infinity War. To all things an ending. It was a good run.
So anybody have any recommendations for the week?
Go see Doctor Strange.
There you go, Aubrey.
Yeah.
Her favorite three and a half out of five.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Marky Mark?
No, I'm behind. I haven't finished anything that I've started. I've missed TV shows. I'm behind on books. I'm like in the middle of doing everything. So I have nothing that I can finish, nothing that I've finished that I could recommend. But I did go see Heartbreak Ridge, the new Mel Gibson war movie. That was pretty good. Should be a review up on the website pretty soon.
Starring Andrew Garfield?
Yeah. Starring ex-Peter Parker, Andrew Garfield, and Hugo Weaving, ex-Red Skull, played his father. So, of course, I had my nerd moment while I'm watching a movie going, it's Spider-Man versus Red Skull.
How about you, Joey DiCarlo? What do you want to recommend?
I recommend everybody go on SoWizardPodcast.com, where they can find the podcast every week. Links to all our social media accounts right on the right-hand side of the page, SoWizardPodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app on your tablet or smartphone. Pretty much any other tablet, smartphone app where you can find podcasts, we're going to be on there. So no worries. However you want to listen, please do so. My recommendation is next weekend. November 11th through the 13th, 2016, in Providence, Rhode Island, USA. You go check out Rhode Island Comic Con. We will be there as press, bringing you quite a bit of content over the course of the next week or so, with interviews that we're working on lining up. No names right now that we're going to drop, but some potentially really cool stuff. Lots of pictures on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and some other cool stuff that will be going on. We'll be attending some panels. We're going to be checking out Angry Geek Show Live. We're going to be checking out, I believe, Brotherhood of Evil Geeks are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of guests. It's going to be a fun time. So November 11th through the 13th, Providence, Rhode Island, Rhode Island Comic Con. Check out ricomiccon.com for more information.
Awesome. Yeah, it's cool that they gave us press passes. I feel legitimized. It's nice. It's a nice feeling. I will recommend The Blacklist as always because it's been really good. And beyond that, I will also recommend that if you haven't watched it in the past, you find a way to watch the movie Xanadu starring Olivia Newton-John, because within the next few weeks, we will be doing Mark's I Hate You Now Watch Xanadu.
Oh,
so Joey sounds like he loved watching it.
this is rough. This is where, you know, it's like, ha, I hate you now watch this. This is where I like really felt like, man, maybe Mark really doesn't like us.
And he staunchly defends that movie. He loves it. He legitimately loves it.
That is an absolute fact. I do love that movie.
It's a classic to him. It's a classic bad movie. But anyway, so if you have a chance, watch Xanadu, and then you can laugh along with us when we dissect it in a few weeks for Mark's I Hate You Now Watch. I think that'll be Thanksgiving week, if I'm not mistaken. So, but that's it. Other than that, be nice to each other, and we'll talk to you next week. On behalf of my lovely and talented co-hosts, Mr. Joey DiCarlo.
See you on the flip side, kids.
Miss Aubrey Litchfield.
Good journey.
And, of course, your friend of mine, the expert himself, Mr. Marky Mark Markellis Reagans.
Good night, kids. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Nice. My name is Tom Van Zandt. This has been episode number 118, Doctor Strange Review episode of the So Wizard Podcast. You guys have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bitches leave.
Have you felt it?
Thank you.
Awesome. Does anyone have anything else? Seems
to be like you're the expert, Mark.
If you think I'm dropping that in there, you're crazy.
You don't need to drop it in there. I just shot it out live.
Oh, no, I'll just cut it out then.
No, you won't. Don't you dare.
You can't stop me.
Yes, I can.